You have your Bible with you today? I hope you do. And if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We seem to be in the book of beginnings, in the books of beginnings recently. Genesis last week, and now the beginning of the New Testament in Matthew. And as you look at Matthew, and as when you find Matthew chapter 6, would you stand? I'm going to let everybody find it before you stand. And if you don't have your Bibles with you, or if it's too dark to read out there, you can watch it on the screen. But Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start at verse 5. Then we're going to skip over to verse 9 and following. Matthew chapter 6, and standing in honor of reading God's Word. Does this look familiar? Verse 5 says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites." Now, what is a hypocrite? Stop. Look up. What's a hypocrite? Literally, the interpretation, the definition of a hypocrite is someone who has two faces. Are you with me? It began in the early days of Rome when they had actors and they would have different faces. And they called them hypocrites because they would be one personality one place and another personality another. So you get why people who see Christians that are holy at church but wear a different mask in the office or at school or at home, they call them hypocrites. Folks, Scripture says, when you pray, don't be a hypocrite. In other words, be honest with God and be honest with yourself. Then it says in verse 9, you know this passage of Scripture. It's called the what? The Lord's Prayer. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And all God's people said, amen. Don't you just love God's Word? Listen, that's a favorite Scripture that we have. I want you to remain standing because we're not through reading yet. But the model prayer that Christ gave us is one of our favorites. Let me ask you, do you love that Scripture? Man, there's so many that we love. Let me ask you this, and you remember Jesus said right here, He said, don't be a hypocrite. Let me ask you this. Have you ever come across a Bible text that you didn't like? No? Look at this one. Matthew 5:12. Bring it up on the board. Read it with me. Rejoice when you are persecuted. I really wanted to do one of those things, what's it called, Family Feud, where it turns over the thing, goes ding, and everybody in the audience reads it. Do you like this Scripture? Do you love this Scripture? Rejoice when you're persecuted. How many of you just love this Scripture? Right. Look at the next one. Matthew 6:34 says, read it with me. Do not worry about tomorrow. Ding. Next one. Matthew 5:44. Love your enemies. How many of you have this one on your doorpost at home? Nobody. Although we love the Word of God, we often find ourselves squirming to be obedient to the Word of God and to apply those tough Scriptures to our life. Amen? Today we're going to look at one of those tough subjects, and we're going to look at forgiveness. And we're going to look at forgiveness as to how it applies to spiritual warfare. And you may find yourself challenged a bit more than you like. So we're going to pick up where we left off in Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 14 and 15, which follow the model prayer. The Scripture says, read it with me, For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Don't you just love that scripture? No. Because this one kind of beats us up, doesn't it? Would you pray with me? Close your eyes, bow your head. Enter that prayer closet, just you and the Lord for just a moment, won't you? And would you join me to ask God to open your heart to speak to you? Would you pray that prayer? God, please help me to hear your word and speak to me today. Father, that is our prayer. Speak to our hearts because we need it. We know, Lord, that we don't get truth from the world. We get truth from you. So God, would you speak to our hearts? Even when we don't like it, Lord, would you help us to apply the truth of your word? Because when we apply the truth of your word, that's when we get joy. That's when we get fulfilled. That's when we get blessed. So Father, we want the fulfilling. We want the joy. We want the blessings. Amen? So Father, help us then to be obedient that we can receive it. And all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? A lot of us, maybe we should just say all of us, but a lot of us struggle with forgiveness. Sometimes we struggle with forgiveness, not that happened yesterday, but with something that happened weeks, months, years, maybe even decades ago. Are you with me? You ever known somebody that had a family struggle and it's been going on for years and years and years? In some cases, doesn't it seem true? In some cases, it seems that our bitterness appears to be justified. Somebody really did us wrong. Humanly speaking, it seems to be justified. And we see absolutely no reason for forgiveness. We see absolutely no reason that we should be the one to break down and say sorry or try to heal the circumstances and the relationship. And yet, nevertheless, God's word is clear. Is it not? God's word is clear. The Bible says God will withhold His forgiveness from you if you won't forgive those who have trespassed against you. It says God the Heavenly Father withholds His forgiveness from His very children if they don't forgive others. Ouch. You know, today's society has certainly fostered an attitude of blame, have they not? It's always somebody else's fault. I can't help the way that I am. I can't help the way things are going in my life. It's not my fault. Psychologists and psychiatrists teach people to blame their mamas and blame their daddies and to blame their teachers and to blame their preachers and to blame their churches. And I'm going to tell you this. There are so many people that are saying, I can't help the way I am. It's my mama's fault. It's my daddy's fault, etc., etc., etc. Husband's fault. Wife's fault. I do not deny the reality of pain. I do not deny the reality of the difficulty of bad influences on people's life. I don't discount that. It can be very real. But when all we do is learn to blame other people for everything that's going on in our life, you will never have a fostering heart for forgiveness. Because you're going to blame people instead of realizing what you need to do about it yourself. If you stay bitter, if you don't forgive, forgiveness doesn't stay a ready option, and you're robbed of joy, people. I want you to be a happy people. I want you to be an excited people. I want you to be a blessed people. And when you don't forgive, when you withhold it, you don't have joy, you don't have peace, you don't have happiness. So why is forgiveness a matter of spiritual warfare? Why is it so important? I'm going to share with you a number of things this morning. First and foremost, forgiveness is obedience. Forgiveness is obedience. Christ said, forgive those who have wronged you. Forgive them. Why? So that God can forgive you. It's all about your benefit. Yes, it's going to benefit that other person if they will repent and come back. But the thing is, the forgiveness is for your benefit. Satan wants you to be disobedient. Amen? When you are disobedient, you've got no power in Christ. Godly obedience demands the forgiveness of others in your life that have done you wrong, even when you don't feel like it. Let me ask you, if you would, take your Bible, and if you want to look in the concordance, I'm going to give you just a moment here. And as a matter of fact, throughout the rest of the day, if you want to look for it, you look for it. I hope you'll listen to the message. But I want you to find the scripture that says, praise God when you feel like it. Not going to find one. And I want you to find one that says, forgive other people when you feel like it. Not going to find it in here. Do you know why? Because God knows that there's a lot of times in our life we don't feel like it. Forgiveness, dear friends, is obedience. And Satan wants you to be disobedient. That way you've got no power in Christ. That's why it's spiritual warfare driven. Forgiveness. When you forgive other people, you are empowered by Christ. Second thing is, when forgiving others is a characteristic of being forgiven. When you have been forgiven, you want to forgive other people. You know, there's a story in Matthew chapter 18. We're not going to go through it today, but just for time's sake. But you may recall it relates the parable of the unforgiving servant. And there was a servant who owed more to his master than he probably could have ever paid out for the rest of his lifetime. The scripture says that he owed a ton of money. And he went to the master, and he was about to be put into debtor's prison. And it says that he fell on his face and said, oh, forgive me. He said, please don't throw me into jail. Please, 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 please forgive my debt. And it said the master had pity on him and forgave him his debt. And he walked out of the presence of his master debt free. And it says immediately when he walked out of there, he went and found a man who owed him about one day's wage. One day's wage, and the man was very poor and he couldn't pay it. And he said, but I can't pay it. Please give me time. Please give me time. And this one who had just been forgiven a lifetime of debt threw the man in jail until he could pay his debt over just a little bit of money. Does that sound right to you? And then the scripture says that the master found out that this man had done that. And he said, you go get him and you throw him in jail and you lock the door and throw away the key until he pays it all. Do you know what parables are about? Parables are about the way heaven is. Parables are about the way God is. And God is saying, look, if this is the way you are, if God will forgive you of all the stuff you've done and yet you're going to get mad at somebody and hold something against them that they did, you are going to have to pay a grand debt before God. Not a fun scripture. Dear friends, Matthew 18 lays it out pretty plain that when we forgive as God forgives, we model God's love. Hello? You are showing that you are like Christ when you forgive as God forgives. And when you do that, you weaken Satan's influence in your life. You loosen his grip on you. Number three is that when we do not forgive, our witness is weakened. Have you noticed that? You've seen that? It's been in my heart and life before. I know people have seen it in me when I got mad over something and I had a hard time forgiving. People could see in my heart and in my life that I wasn't walking close to the Lord. Godly relationships are a testimony of God's work in our life. Listen, God shows the world what He's like by the way you treat your spouse. Man, not a fun concept sometimes, right? I show how godly or ungodly I am by the way that men that we treat our wives, wives in the way that we treat our husbands, parents in the way we treat our kids, kids in the way that you treat your parents. and everybody else around you. When you treat them poorly, God says you are showing a testimony to the world. And when you do it right, you're showing a godly testimony. John chapter 13, verse 33 tells us that the world will know that we belong to God by the way we love one another. It didn't say they'll know we're Christians by the church we attend. That'd be great, man, if everybody just said, hey, these people go to Grace Point, they must be Christians. It's not what they say. What they say is they're going to know that you're of God by the way that you love each other, by the way that you take care of each other. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 tells us that a godly marriage relationship will model Christ's love for the church. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says that we honor God and show people that we are godly by the way we bear each other's burdens. And then, of course, we read in Matthew chapter 6 that we show God's love when we forgive other people, that we're doing the godly thing, that we honor by forgiving. Folks, a lack of forgiveness brings bitterness. Bitterness brings anger. It brings harm to relationships, and it hinders our witness. And I'm going to tell you, Satan is pleased when that happens because he knows he's got a stranglehold on our life. And he uses it to manipulate us. Amen? Have you ever gotten over something? Stop for just a minute. Have you ever gotten over something? Or maybe even as you were trying to get over it, you thought, you know, I need to turn that loose. I just need to give that to God. And boy, old Satan will remind you, no, you remember what they did. You even know how they did it. You know what time it was when it happened. You know the day. You know how. Listen, have you ever had Satan just constantly harangue you about what others have done wrong to you to remind you? Folks, that is the way Satan wars against you and against us to keep us from forgiving. A lack of forgiveness makes us focus on our pain and our anger. And that means, folks, if we're focused on our pain and our anger, you know what that means? That means that we have taken our focus off of God. We've taken our eyes off of God. When bitterness controls us, we're in bondage to our pain. We're in bondage to our feelings instead of the freedom in Christ. And when we're not experiencing the freedom of joy, when we're not experiencing the freedom of Christ, it's even harder to forgive than it was before. So let me ask you, are you struggling with anything in your life to forgive? Husbands, listen to me. Are you struggling with anything to forgive your wife? Oh, you're getting along just fine, but you know what? You're just holding something against her. You're just hanging on to something, something that you can dangle over her head whenever you want to. Wives, what about you? Are you hanging anything over the head of your husband? Have you forgiven all? Have you given it to Christ? What about your kids? Listen, what about kids to parents? What about friends? What about somebody in the church? Has there ever been something that you just won't turn loose of? I'm going to tell you this. If there is anything in your heart, anything in your life, and you're hanging on to it, I'm going to tell you that it is a spiritual battle right now to keep you weak. It is a spiritual battle to keep you absolutely weak in Christ. If you do not forgive, you're not going to have power in the Lord. So if you're struggling to forgive something, here's a process that you can hang on to. If you're struggling to forgive, the first thing you need to do is this. Get a prayer partner. Enlist a prayer partner to pray with you about the matter. Now listen to this. Don't get your prayer partner and tell your prayer partner and say, well, this is what they did to me. Listen, that's just called gossip. But if you will tell them, look, I am having a problem with forgiveness, you're not going to pray for that other person. That's not their problem of forgiveness. It's your problem of forgiveness. You ask your prayer partner to pray for your heart and ask God to help you to forgive. Does that make sense? This means yes. I have to get there where I can see. This means yes? This means no? Do you understand? Forgiveness is not the problem of the person who offended you. It's your problem. I'm not saying that what they did was right and that it shouldn't be dealt with. What I'm saying is the problem of forgiveness is yours. Enlist a prayer partner. And I'm going to tell you, because Satan does not want you to forgive, he is going to fight you on this. He's going to say, oh, you don't need a prayer partner. No. You just keep it to yourself. Listen, if Satan is telling you that, all the more reason you need to get some help over it. Enlisting a prayer partner may provide just the strength that you needed to face and to win this spiritual battle. Because, dear friend, it is a spiritual battle. The second thing is that you can do. Dwell on how God has already forgiven you. Don't focus on the wrong done to you. Focus on the good God has brought to you. Focus on the good things. When you consider God's grace towards you, you're going to find it easier to extend grace to somebody else. When you think about all that God has forgiven you, you remember what we're talking about here? The parable of the unforgiving servant who had a lifetime of sin, a debt, and then that other person had a one day's debt against him, and he wouldn't forgive. Listen, if you will just think about what God has done for you, it will be easier for you to do unto others. God forgives you repeatedly. Do I need to say that again? God forgives you repeatedly. God forgives you. Shouldn't we do the same? Oh, that one's hard. Pastor, can you preach on something else? I want you to remember this. Here's the third thing. Remember that forgiving does not justify the wrong that was done to you. I think this is one of the biggest problems with forgiveness in the hearts of people. They tend to believe, if I forgive them, that just says that what they did was okay. Not true. Not true. By forgiving someone, you're not saying it was okay that they offended you. You're not saying that it was okay that they hurt you. You're not saying that their sin is all right. That's not what you're saying. What you're saying is I'm going to turn loose of the bitterness in my heart that it caused. Now understand this, there is a difference between forgiveness and restoration. Are you with me? Restoring means that you bring someone home. Classic example that we can remember is the prodigal son, right? The prodigal son, man, he treated his father disrespectfully. He says, I can't wait till you die. Give me my money right now, right? What an insult. And it wasn't even his money. He wasn't even the oldest son. And so the father gave him his money and he went off and he spent it on, the Bible says, riotous living. You figure that out. Riotous living. But it says that while he was literally in the pig pen, that he came to his senses and he came home. The father ran to him and the first thing the son said was, Father, I no longer deserve to be called a son. I have sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. And he apologized. Listen, folks, that's called repentance. And what did the father do? Restored him. Just like that. There is yet another picture of God our Father. When we come home, when we repent, when we turn our back on the pig pen and we actually come home, God forgives. But dear friend, you're supposed to do the same thing. Listen, if that father had not already forgiven his son, if he had not already longed for him to come home, he never would have been watching for him. Amen? We need to be like that because, you see, we are supposed to forgive. Now, that doesn't mean that we overlook the sin. Listen, we hate sin. We love the sinner, but we hate sin. You got it? Forgiveness, dear friend, is not restoration. That might come if they repent and they ask for forgiveness. So many think that by forgiving the one who has offended them or hurt them, that they are giving that person permission to hurt them again. Not so. Listen, we are not supposed to walk right back into that same hurtful relationship and just be abused and be abused and be abused. That's not what it's about. But it is about forgiving from our heart so that that abuse does not make us bitter and angry and live in a cesspool of bitterness. Forgiveness is not restoration unless the offender repents. And then, God forgives His children of wrong, so should we. But He also holds them accountable for their sin. Listen, if you want to go back and read John chapter 8, verse 11, where it says that the woman that was caught in adultery was brought to Jesus, and they wanted to stone her to death. She looked up after Christ confronted those around her. They were all gone. And He said, "Where are your accusers?" She says, "They're gone, Lord." He says, "Neither do I condemn thee." What was His next sentence? "Go and sin no more." God calls us to stop sinning. He forgives as we should forgive, but we also do not just overlook the sin. You've got to hold them accountable. The fourth thing, determine to forgive. Right from the beginning, determine that you are going to forgive, that you are going to move past what Satan does to your heart, move past his manipulation of your mind, and you are going to forgive. Determine to forgive, or admit your disobedience to God. If you're going to hang on to it and say, "Well, I deserve to be able to hang on to it. It's my right. I was the one who has done wrong." Then you might as well just admit you're wrong before God. Just go ahead and say, "God, I'm going to ignore your truth. I'm going to be disobedient to you. I'm going to live in sin, and I'm not going to forgive them." So you just spit in the face of God. If God demands that we forgive others, to do anything less is disobedient. Totally disobedient. Disobedience never brings joy in Christ. Amen? Only obedience brings joy. Only obedience brings peace with God. Unforgiveness brings bitterness and more pain. Literally, folks, when we refuse to forgive, we are challenging God to condemn us of our own sin. When we say, "I just can't forgive my husband. I just can't forgive my wife. I just can't forgive that friend, that boss, that worker, that person. I just can't forgive them." What we are doing is we are daring God to say, "Then I can't and won't forgive you." Is that what we want? No! We've got a double standard, don't we? It's called humanness. If you're not experiencing God's joy in your life, if you just don't have that peace that you used to have, can I ask you, check something very simple. Check your forgiveness of folks. And if you've got a bitterness that's hanging on there, dear friend, you need to take care of it. Number five. This is one of my favorites. This is one of them that God really blessed me with a few years ago. Make the decision to forgive regardless of any feelings. You know, love is seldom divorced from emotions. Amen? We've got a lot of emotions. But making loving choices does not depend upon emotions. A lot of us are driven by emotion. But we shouldn't be. We should be driven by the fact and by the truth of Christ. Amen. You may not feel like forgiving, but in obedience to God, you can still make the intellectual and spiritual decision to do so. Even when you don't feel like it, what you do is you come before God and say, "God, I don't feel like it. God, I'm still hurt. God, I'm still getting over this. And yet, Lord, I want to do what's right before you. God, help me to forgive. God, help me to turn it loose." Now, I learned something a few years ago that made a lot of difference in my life. If you haven't heard anything else today, would you hear this? My personal testimony. Here's what I learned. I had learned to say the words, God, I forgive. Even when I didn't mean it. And then afterwards to pray this prayer. God, I said the words, now help me to mean it. I know some of you are going, well, that doesn't make sense. You try it. There is something powerful about speaking the words out loud. And I'm going to tell you the honest truth. When it got there, I was so hurt over a situation. I had been brooding on it for months. And I got there and I learned this little thing. It said, just say it out loud. So I said, okay, I'll say it out loud, but I won't mean it, but I'm going to say it out loud. And I said, God, and I saw the face of the person. And I said, God, I was in the truck by myself. And even by myself, I struggled to say the word forgive. Finally, I said, God, you're going to have to help me. Satan won't let my lips do the right thing. And I finally said it, God, I forgive, and I made the name out. And I'm going to tell you, the presence of God filled that truck. Because God knew that I'd been battling that for months. If you're struggling with it, say the words and then ask God to help you to mean those words. He did for me. God changes hearts when you obediently follow Him. The sixth thing, pray for the other person. Pray for the one who hurt you. Jesus did. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Scripture says that Jesus looked down off from the cross on the people that had crucified Him, and Jesus prayed and said, God, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing. Wow. When we pray for God to extend His grace towards those who have hurt us, we begin to turn loose of our anger and our animosity, and we weaken Satan's chokehold on our peace and our life. And folks, when we do that, we become more like Jesus Christ. The last one today. Continue to be accountable to your prayer partner. Let your prayer partner know how you're doing. Find somebody who's mature to be your prayer partner who will pray for you and with you. They don't need to know your circumstances. They just need to know you. And they need to know how you're doing with what you're struggling with. Even after the offender has been forgiven, the enemy may try to focus, or should I say refocus you on yesterday's pain. You ever had that happen? You know why that happens? Because we're human. When God forgives us, the Scripture says that He separates the sin from us as far as the east is from the west. Well, I'm going to tell you, we have trouble with that. We struggle with it because, you see, when we forgive somebody, it's still right here. And we may have to forgive them again and again and again. That's why for us, forgiveness is a process. For God, forgiveness is instantaneous. For us, it's a process, and we have to keep turning it loose sometimes. The enemy wants us to remember. And so he would have us to live in defeat and to bring it up again and again. We're human. It's a process. But folks, it can be no less of a sin to relive it as it was when you wouldn't turn it loose in the first place. You know, it could be a whole lot like washing your hair. It needs to happen regularly. Lather, rinse. Lather, rinse. This section's got it. Lather, rinse. Confess, give it up, repeat. Confess, give it up, repeat. Keep in touch with your prayer partners. Seek their prayer support when you're going through this. Removing the bitterness from your heart It will heal your heart. God will heal you. It'll strengthen your walk. And it'll reopen your life to God's blessing. I relate it to a pot with the lid on. And as long as the lid is on, you can't put anything else in that pot. But when you will forgive, it opens the top for you to receive God's blessing. God is good. He'll fill you. But you've got to get the lid off. Pray with me. Thank you, Father, for your word. Even the tough ones, God, like this one. Because it is hard, Lord, to forgive sometimes when we are so bitter and we're so hurt and we act like nothing's going on and maybe we even treat them right and we treat them good and yet we haven't forgiven them so we don't fully restore them to where they need to be. God, forgive us. And help us, Lord, to be like you and, Father, to get your help that we might forgive so that we can be forgiven. Lord, help us to forgive so that we can have the peace. God, help us to forgive so that we can have the joy. God, help us to forgive so that we can have the strength in Christ to do battle daily for you, Lord. God, so many of us are living in defeat. Help us, God, to be winners again. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you this opportunity. Perhaps God has just pricked your heart this morning. And you know that you've got some forgiveness to take care of. Will you make the step? Make the first step this morning. And would you just say the words from your heart? You don't even have to say it out loud this time. But say it in your heart. Say, God, I forgive. And you make the list. And then would you pray and say, God, help me to mean that in every way. God, I forgive.